Now, this week, we're concerned with the White Lotus Sutra itself. As we saw last week, this is one of the most important of all the Mahayana Sutras. There are many hundreds of Mahayana Sutras. About a dozen or 15 of them are of the greatest importance. And the White Lotus is perhaps one of the two or three most important of all. And when we turn to the White Lotus, we find that it differs very considerably from most, even of the other Mahayana Sutras. We find some Mahayana Sutras speaking the language of concepts almost exclusively. We find others speaking the language of concepts and the language of images. But when we turn to the White Lotus Sutra, we find that it speaks, as it were, the language of images almost exclusively. It contains parables, myths, symbols, but very, very little in the way of conceptual exposition of the Dharma, very, very little of what can be recognized as teaching in the ordinary sense of the term. Now tonight we're concerned with the White Lotus Sutra as a whole. And as the title of tonight's lecture tells us, we're concerned with it in a particular way, in a particular form. We are concerned with it not just as a text or a document, much less still a teaching. We're concerned with it as nothing less than the drama of cosmic enlightenment. From next week, we shall be dealing with the significance of individual parables, myths, and symbols contained in the sutra. But tonight, we are still at the introductory stage. Tonight, we're still trying to see the wood as a whole, rather than stopping to look at individual trees. Now, in the original Sanskrit, the title of the White Lotus Sutra is Saddharma Pundarika Sutra. Saddharma is usually translated as good law, or good doctrine, and it refers to the Buddha's teaching. But this translation isn't really very adequate. Sat or sad is derived from a Sanskrit root meaning to exist, and it therefore means something more like true or real, or if you like, genuine or authentic. And in the same way, dharma is not just doctrine or teaching as we usually translate the word. It's more like truth. It's more like even the ultimate nature of things. So Saddharma, as well as the Pali equivalent Saddhamma, is therefore best translated as the real truth. This is what the term essentially means. And some of you may remember that in my translation of the Dhammapada, where the word often occurs in its Pali form Saddhamma, there also I've rendered it as the real truth. Now what does Pundarika mean? Pundarika means the white lotus. In English we've just got one word for lotuses in general, but in Sanskrit they've got a separate term, a separate word for different lotuses of different colour. So Pundarika is the white lotus. And obviously here, the white lotus is a symbol of purity. I'll have something to say about the symbol of the lotus in general when we come to lecture 7 entitled The Jewel in the Lotus. But meanwhile, just one or two words. We know, I'm sure, that the lotus generally grows in ponds, generally grows, in fact, in the mud, or out of the mud. But according to Indian tradition and symbolism, though it grows in the mud and out of the mud, the lotus flower, is never touched by the mud. It is never stained. So in this way, it becomes a symbol of purity. It becomes a symbol of the presence of the unconditioned in the midst of the conditioned. Or if you like, a symbol of the spiritual in the midst of the worldly. The transcendental or the unconditioned or the spiritual not being touched, not being smirched by that in the midst of which it appears. So by describing the real truth, the Buddha's teaching, that is to say, as being like a white lotus, it is suggested that that teaching, that real truth, though it appears in the world, is not affected, not tainted by any worldly considerations. Now what about the word sutra? This is the most common term for a Buddhist scripture. When we say the sutras, we mean the scriptures, just like a Christian might say the Bible. The word sutra itself is from a word meaning a thread. And it suggests a number of topics, as it were, strung together on a common thread of discourse. Now, the body of a sutra, the body of a scripture in this sense of the term, usually consists of an exposition of the Dharma, of the teaching, of the real truth, by the Buddha himself. And it's almost always preceded by an account of the circumstances in which or under which the discourse was delivered, and it concludes with an account of the effect produced on the auditors by the delivery of the discourse. Sometimes, however, the Buddha himself remains in the background. He's there, but he doesn't actually speak. A disciple speaks, and at the end of the discourse, the Buddha gives his approval, thereby making the discourse, as it were, his own. And sometimes, especially in Mahayana sutras, a disciple speaks, and he speaks under, as it were, the direct inspiration of the Buddha, so that it's the Buddha speaking through the disciple, and not the disciple himself speaking at all. But whether the Buddha himself is speaking in his own person, whether he approves the words of a disciple, or whether he inspires a disciple, whatever is said in any of these ways in the body of a sutra is always understood as issuing not just from the ordinary level of consciousness. It isn't just something worked out intellectually. It isn't something merely empirical in the mundane sense. Ultimately, it is a truth, a message, a revelation, if you like, issuing from the depths of the Buddhas or the disciples. At this level, it doesn't make any difference. Enlightened consciousness. So that it's, as it were, a revelation, a communication, at least an expression of the content of that enlightened consciousness or the Buddha nature. This is the essential content of a Buddhist scripture, its essential purpose, to communicate the nature of enlightenment and indicate the way leading to the realization thereof. So if we take the whole title of this sutra in the original Sanskrit, Saddharma Pundarika Sutra, we can render it as the scripture of the white lotus, or if you like, the transcendental lotus of the real truth. This is only approximate, but it'll do.